People were like, wow, didn't know Leviticus was so interesting. Didn't know it had so much to teach. As most people think Leviticus, they think boring, hard to get through. And yet, look at all the amazing things that we have learned from the book of Leviticus, of all places. It's been beautiful. And that is where we get the scripture, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," quoted in the New Testament. That is where we were taught amazing truth about drinking alcohol, offering strange fire. And tonight, we have the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament is in Leviticus 19. Imagine that. Down in verse 18. So tonight's not a long passage, typical type sermon. So verse 19, 18. "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Look it down, verse 34. "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So tonight, love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for your precious word. And we thank you for the privilege of opening it together and pray the Holy Spirit would use it in our hearts tonight and guide us in truth. Lord, may you be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a tough one. I've been giving out a lot of chocolate bars lately. Does anybody know the most common word in Leviticus? Anybody remember? Over 300 times.
Repent?
No, you're close. Anybody? Leviticus, the most common word. It's not holy, which we talked about. It's not atonement, which we talked about. It's not blood. You were going to say blood, weren't you?
Redeem?
No? Hey, we tried, didn't we? Oh, you want to know what it is? It's offering. Jim said he was just going to say that. Most common word in Leviticus is offering. Think about it. Think about the first 10 chapters are all about the offerings, the five offerings that we went through. Anyway, bit of trivia there. Also, a bit of trivia, which I was speaking to some people in the van on the way back from Potatadu. I find it so ironic that, for example, the Seventh-day Adventists make such a big deal about the commandments and how they've broken the law up into various types of law, moral law, ceremonial law, which God doesn't do. But their entire theory falls apart because God mixed them all together. And here we have, according to Jesus, the second most important commandment in the entire scriptures. And it's mixed in a chapter with all kinds of what we would call ceremonial law. Things that you and I don't have to even be concerned about because they don't apply to us. Clean and unclean animals and, like we talked about, cleansing of lepers and on it goes. And tucked in there is this little phrase that Jesus pulled out when he was asked about the greatest commandment. And the two commandments that he quotes are from Deuteronomy 6 about loving God with all your heart and Leviticus 19 about loving your neighbors yourself. Which means it's all the law, Exodus to Deuteronomy. It was all nailed to the cross. But because the Word of God in person, the Lord Jesus Christ, pulled it out and gave it to us in the New Testament, now it's the second most important commandment in the Bible, according to God. And that commandment is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As I mentioned, the most quoted verse from the Old Testament in the New is this verse, quoted 8 times in the New Testament. Now, we'll look at some of them tonight, not all 8, but let's go to Matthew 22, verse 37, and look at some of the times when this verse was quoted in the New Testament. And what's interesting, you know, a lot of times when verses in the Old Testament are quoted in the New Testament, maybe transitioning from Hebrew to Greek or whatever, it's not always word for word, but in this case, it's always word for word. Notice Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is our Savior speaking. Amen. Let's go to Mark 12, verse 29. Mark 12, 29. And Jesus answering him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That first commandment is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just in case you wanted to write it down. And then Romans chapter 13. So here we have it in the Gospels. Now we have it in the church epistles. Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Again, the church epistles. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And now James chapter 2 and verse 8, where God gives it a name. Does anybody know that the name of the second commandment? Did you know it had a name? Well, now you do. If you fulfill the royal law, you didn't know it was called the royal law, but God says the second commandment, you can refer to it as the royal law. According to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. You know, we often talk about the golden, what? The golden rule. Luke 6:31, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That we've given a name that's not even in the Bible, the golden rule. And yet God refers to the second commandment as the royal law, but we never call it that. But it is the second greatest commandment according to the one who wrote and gave us the commandments, the incarnate word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. From Leviticus 19. Now, when Jesus came on the scene, he not only quoted this for us and amplified it as being the second greatest commandment, but then he took it and replaced it and made it for you and me. He changed it. Is Jesus allowed to do that? Yep, because he's Jesus. Amen. So let's see this in John chapter 13 and verse 34. Most of you know verse 35. But let's go to John 13, 34 and see what Jesus did. Up to this point, up to John 13, Jesus said, the second greatest commandment of the Bible is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Because he knows that we all have a love affair with ourselves, don't we? Because we're all self-centered and selfish. But now Jesus is going to upgrade the commandment. How's that for a modern word? And say, no, that's not enough anymore. I don't want you to love others as you love yourself. What does he say, verse 34? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Well, that part's not new. But look at this next phrase, as I have loved you. Uh-oh. That's a much greater love than how much you love yourself, isn't it? The love that he loves us with, or the way he loves us. This is a new commandment, he said, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, what is this love? Well, according to the New Testament, this new love is, first of all, unconditional. Amen? Let's look at Ephesians 4:32. Most of you know this verse. And by unconditional, I mean unconditional forgiveness. We all struggle with forgiveness because, we are self-centered. And yet it's the heart of Christianity, forgiveness. If it wasn't for forgiveness, we'd all be going to hell. Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In other words, forgive one another, there are no exceptions. And we know this from Scripture. Whether you've been hurt, whether you've hurt someone, you always make it right and you always forgive. There are no exceptions. Why? Because God forgave us all trespasses. Colossians 2:13. So, unconditional, this new love. There are no limits and there are no you can't say, "Yes, I love you, except." Can't do that anymore. Because God didn't do that for us, did He? He said, "I love you, let me show you." Calvary. Unconditional. Also, it's putting others first. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Which we all struggle to do, again, because we are selfish. But this is the kind of love that God showed us, isn't it? He put us first. Notice Philippians 2, 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Look at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind is that? Putting others first. Putting others before yourself. That's the kind of love that Jesus displayed for us. And He says, "This is how I want you to love one another. Unconditionally and putting others' needs before your own." Speaking of meeting needs, 1 John chapter 3, let's turn there. And so the love that Jesus has for us, He loved the church and gave Himself for it, amen, Ephesians 5:25, is the love that now we are commanded to emulate. Yes, coming into the New Testament, we were to love our neighbors ourselves. Now, we're to love others as Christ loved us, unconditionally, putting them first. 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He's laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." God's love is sacrificial, isn't it? God didn't just say He loved us through His words. God said He loved us through His actions, didn't He? And that was at Calvary. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And it says, He laid down His life for us. Who did? God. God incarnate laid down His life for us. And we, therefore, ought to lay down our lives. In other words, sacrificially love others. Be willing to love others. And then verse 17, the next verse, is showing that love is what we do. "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Does God meet our needs? Of course He does. Does He take care of us? Yes. That's part of love, is what we do. And then to drive the point home, the next verse, verse 18, that's not love in word, neither in tongue, but what? In deed. In other words, don't love in your words, but love in what you do, which is what God did for us. He didn't just say, "I love you, world." He said, "I love you so much, let me show you. Let me come down and become a man myself and then allow myself to be abused and beaten and whipped and have a crown of thorns put on my head and be nailed to a cross for you." That's love. And He says, Jesus said, "Now this is the love that I want you to have one for another, as I have loved you." Sacrificially, meeting needs, putting others first, unconditional. That's the kind of love I want you to have one for another. Now back to the John verse, if you would, quickly. John 13 and verse 34. Jesus made an interesting statement here. It's a very powerful truth. And I believe it's one of the main reasons why so many churches aren't growing is this verse. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. How many people have taken this verse and said, oh, the church doesn't do enough social work and show its love to the community by giving them stuff, clothes or whatever. And that's not a bad thing to do, but that's not what he said, is it? When he said by this one thing, verse 34, that you love one another as I've loved you. By this shall they know, what? When they see the love that you have for one another. Not the love that you have for the lost. But the world is going to see the love that you have one to another, and they're going to say, wow, they must be Jesus' disciples. Now that doesn't mean they'll get saved necessarily, but they will know the difference when they seek true Christian love in action, Christian charity. I said, by this. And he says that if you go to Philippians 2, he says that is one of the ways in which you can show this world that Christianity is different than anything else when they see love. God-like love. Sacrificial love. Unconditional love. That kind of love, when the world sees it, they're going to say they must be the disciples of Jesus Christ. And so if the world isn't seeing it, it's not because it wasn't God's plan. It's because the church isn't doing what they were commanded to do, which is love one another as Christ loved us. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, that's us, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye, what? Shine as lights in the world. People often, what does it mean to let my light so shine? What does that mean? You know, we sing the song, don't hide it under a bushel, don't let Satan blow it out. But what does it mean to let your light shine? Well, Jesus explained part of it to us, didn't he? Is by loving others as Christ loved us. He says nothing shines brighter. He didn't say by these, he said by this. This one thing shall all men know that you're my disciples. And then just to drive it home, we'll go back to our passage there in Leviticus 19, this time verse 34. Remember when someone came to Christ, the book of Luke, and said, who's my neighbor? There always has to be one smart aleck in the crowd, huh? After Jesus quoted this verse, he said, well, who's my neighbor? And of course, Jesus then answered his question by telling us the parable of the Good Samaritan. The world uses that phrase all the time. They don't, a lot of times, don't even know it came from the Bible. But how many times do you hear people say, Good Samaritan, Good Samaritan? What's a Good Samaritan? It's someone who is a blessing to a stranger just because they're being kind. And Jesus said, you want to know who your neighbor is? Let me tell you a parable. And he said, go and do thou likewise, didn't he? It was the Samaritan. It wasn't the two Jews. It was the Samaritan who helped the beat up Jew and paid for his lodging and had him, his bandages put on and so forth. The Jews went to the other side of the road and walked by. The Levite and the other Jew said, I'm not getting involved. The Samaritan said, I'm going to help this guy. That was his answer. But verse 34, but the stranger that dwelleth with you. So if the Jews just had 18, trust me, they would have been like the disciples were in the early church. They would have just been, oh, okay, we need to just love other Jews as ourselves. I mean, when Paul went out and started Gentile churches, the rest of the Jews said, yeah, we're happy for you to do that, Paul. We're just going to keep reaching out to Jews. We just saw it recently in Galatians where Paul even had to rebuke Peter. Because he dissembled himself, and here he is eating a pork sandwich with all these Gentiles. And then the James and the other Jews showed up, and he dropped his sandwich in the rubbish and ran to the other side of the room and stood with the Jews. I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but and Paul had to rebuke him for it. And so way back in Leviticus, God says, by the way, Israel, along the way, there's going to be people from other nations come into your camp and say, I want to convert to Judaism. And it happened a lot. They were called strangers. And they said, I'm willing, whatever, but I want to be part of you. I'm willing to do whatever. I'm willing to follow all of your commandments, but I believe God is with you, and I want to be part. And he says, but the stranger shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. So he said, it's not just Israel loving Israel. This command even applied in the Old Testament, even to the strangers. And then he reminds them, by the way, you were strangers in Egypt for 430 years. And then he reminds them, I am the Lord your God. When you see all caps, that's the Hebrew word for Jehovah. And so Jesus then took this, said, that's the second greatest commandment in the Bible. Let me expound on it a little bit. Let me upgrade it. No longer do you need to love each other as yourself. Now you need to love each other as I loved you. So I think we have our work cut out for us. Amen. And whenever we have to wonder, how am I to love others? We just have to look at Jesus and how he loves us and loved us at Calvary. There is our standard. Amen. That's our standard of love, is how Jesus loved us. Loved the church and gave himself for it. Isn't that beautiful? How Jesus took that and brought it into the church. And now we have this amazing challenge that we need to strive to live every day. And that's that we love others, not as ourselves, but as Christ loved us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. What a blessing to be reminded of the second greatest commandment in Scripture. And to be reminded that as your children in the church age, Lord, we now have been commanded to love others as you loved us. And we know it's difficult, Lord, but we pray for help to be that kind of Christian for thee, that as you said, others would see that love and recognize that we are your disciples as a result. So, Lord, help us to be that testimony through our actions, not just our words, by loving others as you loved us. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. And we praise and love you in Jesus' name.